Good morning, everyone. Let's just start with prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this morning, God, that we were even able to come to start the day with you. Tithe our just the day to you, God, and I just pray, Lord, that you would meet with us during this time, God. I pray that you would use me to just speak your truth as well as share your heart, Lord. And we just, we love you, and I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to be sharing something that I've been sharing with Yahweh, so sorry, Emily. So this will be kind of a review, but let's turn to Mark chapter 12. Verse 29. And we'll go to 31. So Mark 12, verse 29. Jesus answered, "The foremost is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" Amen. So the setup for this is pretty interesting. Basically, Jesus is gathering with all these scribes, right? So basically, it would be the geniuses. It would be like, you know, a bunch of Pastor Sams together, right? And they're kind of trying to stump Jesus, because at this point, there are so many rules that have been set in place for basically the Israelites, right? And, I mean, one way of looking at it these days would be, what is permissible now, right? We, even in this church context, we have so many rules, kind of, right? It'd be like, whether it be with dating, right? Back then, there was no dating. It'd be like, how far is okay, right? Is it okay to kiss? Is it okay to kiss with tongue? Maybe that's too much for the morning. But, or even clubbing, right? Can we club? Is it okay if we club but we don't drink? Is it okay to drink without getting drunk? Obviously, don't get drunk. That's definitely a black and white thing. It's clear. But there's all these things that you could say over time, whether it be modern day church where we've set up, right? So they're trying to stump Jesus. Even us, if you ask us these questions, we can't really give you a clear answer. And even like Pastor Sam's like stance on things, whether it be because of cultural differences, has changed, right? So they're asking Jesus basically to stump him, right? Think all these geniuses, and this is the one that they think Jesus can answer. And he says, basically, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." Right? And this is supposed to supersede everything. And it kind of, I don't think they expected this answer, right? And we get that answer too. You know, as just as Ricky shared a great message on Sunday. Good job, Ricky. And he basically talked about the presence of God and how that needs to be number one. And you know, even Pastor Sam's life verse, he always says, "Seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." And it's not really ever the answer we want, right? It's like, "Hey, Pastor Sam, what do we do about XYZ? What do we do about, you know, this relationship, blah blah blah? What should I do about job?" And he'll say, "Have you prayed?" Which is the right answer, but what we want is the answer, which is like, we want Pastor Sam to prophesy over us and say, "I feel like you should do this," right? But that's not what's going to happen. So part one is, his answer is easy. Love God with everything with you have. It's like, we hear this verse so much, so I think we're like, yeah, I love God with all your mind, heart, soul. But this is the greatest commandment of all. And then the second part, it says, the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So, what Jesus is saying is, if this part happens, if you truly love God, then you will love your neighbor. Pretty simple, right? And it's just a result. If you have one, then you must love your neighbor. And it's actually, there's actually a pretty harsh verse somewhere else. and basically, it says, if you say you love God, but you hate your neighbor, you are a liar, right? So this is actually a really good quick heart check for us, for all of us. Is there anyone in our life right now that we can say we don't like, we kind of hate, more than just irritate, I would say annoy? I mean, that's a good heart check even of where your heart is, right? But I think the key is we need to do something about it, right? Don't just let it be that, okay, I have this annoyance at someone, but do something about it. And that is going back to first commandment, right? Just to share quick testimony, at some point when I was at SP, I actually had dated somebody at church, my first church relationship, and all to say, it ended really bad. Not really bad, but kind of bad, where I felt really hurt and really betrayed, and it was a real struggle, right? Because, you know, you hear these verses, oh, like this verse, love your God with your heart, oh, love as your neighbor, or, oh, we need to, oh, I guess for us, it's always, oh, I need to forgive. But we know that forgiveness is a choice, but there's all these emotions that are attached with forgiveness, right? So I would always say, you know, how are you doing? And I, like, we had accountability. I was like, oh, it's okay. I need to forgive. So at some point, I think it was one of our services. Actually, it wasn't a service. It was the river. So come out to the river. It's pretty awesome. It's where God can really just work on you, I think, with no agenda. But just for whatever reason, at some point, I just felt the need to deal with this forgiveness issue. So I went to God, and I said, very honest, I said, God, I know you want me to forgive, and I don't even like having this thing latched on to me, you know, this hatred. But this is how I feel. I hate this person. Oh, I hope that person doesn't listen to you. But that's how I felt at the time. I really hated the person. It was just coming deep within. I could reason like, oh, no, it's okay because it's probably God's will and it'll work out, so it's all in the best. But deep inside, I really hated the person. So I said, God, if you want me to forgive, you know, through prayers, through supplication, through thanksgiving. So that's what I did. You know, I prayed, I laid it down at Jesus' feet and just said, all right, God, you take care of it. But I can't in my own flesh, right? And I just actually connected the dots just now, or like this morning, because usually what I share was like, and then God helped me forgive, which was true. It was literally instantaneous, where like 180, where in 1 second I hated her, and then the next second I actually like wanted goodness in her life, and I actually started praying for her. But how that came about was actually I just started work, because, you know, at that point you're like, all right, God, I asked for help to forgive. And if you just sit there for a while and like over hypersensitive of what God is doing, usually nothing really happens, to be honest, right? But what happened was I just started worshiping God, right? I just started worshiping God. I got really into it, was just fully devoted just to giving God praise and his worship. And then I noticed, like in that instantaneous, that I had completely forgiven this person. And it's a process because it'll be like up and down, like after, you know, a few hours, I have that hatred again. But I knew that God could do something in my heart, completely transform. And it goes back to loving the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul. Yes, you can will it, and over a long, long time, you can like fully forgive, but God can do some amazing things, right, if you just focus on him. The other thing would be that's interesting about this verse is the end. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Sorry. Notice how Jesus compares loving your neighbor to yourself. So it's a comparison, right? The standard to which you shall love your neighbor is yourself. And there's actually a lot of, obviously, information on how to love God, right? That's basically the whole Bible, every story. And even loving your neighbor, there's a lot of instruction. But actually, there's almost nothing on loving yourself, right? So if we're to understand what that means, to love yourself, we need to distinguish what does this love, because love has so many, it's huge, right, just the meaning. You ask for a definition, everyone will share something different. So first, there's the value of when we say love yourself, as in your value. You know, a lot of romantic comedies, coming-of-age movies, it's always has this theme of your value and loving yourself. So, you know, they're dating, or some guy is after some girl in the movie, and basically this girl is, all his friends say this girl's terrible because this girl treats him terribly, but usually she's like really popular or pretty. And then at the end of the movie, he realizes, I shouldn't take this, right? And then finds somebody better, right? And that's what we're saying a lot of times to people about loving yourself, right? We always say, hey, before you can truly love someone, you need to learn to love yourself. And this isn't even a Christian thing, although Christians say it as well. And but even like secular, oh, you gotta love yourself. What we're really saying is you need to value yourself, right? That you have value, so therefore, you need to take care of that first and foremost. And and then from a Christian context, of course, if you value yourself, our value comes from God, right? It's not, actually, I don't know how like secular does it, but when secular they say value yourself, it's you're valuable because you're a human being, I think, right? But for us, our value comes from God. We're valued because, I mean, so many things. Because of the sacrifice, the cost, right, which was Jesus sacrificing himself, Father God, the willingness to sacrifice his only son. Our value is just from God's expression of love to us, right, even declaring that we are his beloved. So for many, once you have that revelation where God just comes and you know, despite your circumstances of your value, it totally changes your life. It gives you complete security, right? Because suddenly the person who's the most important in the world gives you value, right? So thus your value is huge. So That's what we mean oftentimes when we say love yourself. But in this context of loving yourself, I don't think it's talking about that. I think it's talking about a self-centered love. And that's probably why there's nothing in the Bible, or barely anything, more in reference of how to love yourself, because it's natural, right? We don't need to be taught how to love yourself, right? Even if someone who's completely, we say, who does not love themselves in the sense of they don't value themselves, like someone who's so insecure and their issue is they don't value themselves, they don't know their value from God, and they're just, you know, saying, it's like, oh, why won't anyone talk to me? Why won't, like, what am I going to do this weekend? Or why won't that girl, guy, talk to me? What's wrong with me? Even that is actually loving yourself too much, because you're giving all that focus of, I guess you could say, differentiate it by saying this is a self-centered love. It's where you give yourself so much attention. And this is completely natural. Even if you choose otherwise, it's natural. What I mean is, you know, even whether it be, you know, speaking up here for EMP, or you're going for your job interview that you really, really want, or just whenever you're really hopeful something, like you're like, all right, God, I got to seek you first, seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. But still, you're going crazy inside. You're still like stressing and everything. And this is just our human nature, right? And we go through this from time we're born, and I think even now as Christians, but it's a process, right? And even just looking back, I think high school is where I can totally see how selfish I was. I kind of have a lot of regrets about high school. I don't think I could have enjoyed it to the fullness, and that was because I was just so self-focused and self-centered, right? Basically, I had these like incredible, looking back, I had these incredible friends, and even my mom would always get on my case, but you know, you just brush aside the comments, because they would like always call me and like ask how I was doing and want to like hang out, and like I would just not answer the phone, and then they would call, and then my mom would be like, oh, blah, 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 called, and I'd be like, oh, okay, and she'd be like, aren't you going to call them back? I'm like, whatever. I was just so in my world, and I was never even satisfied with them. I always wanted, like, cooler, better friends, right? It was ridiculous. Not when I look back, I just think, oh, so sad. And I almost want to, like, apologize to those friends. You know, sorry, you guys were incredible. You guys are such good friends, like, in terms of quality of people. But I was so fixated on being, like, wanting cooler and so unsatisfied with what I had. So that's the standard in which we are asked, right? Is all that selfishness that we have, all that self-focus, that we could actually give that focus and attention to our neighbor. Only happens if we love God. There's an overflow in life, right? Because we are so satisfied. I mean, the extreme context would be you don't even have a job, or you're not even in a relationship, and you actually try to help someone with that before even your needs. Not because you're like a pushover, or because you're like, you know, like you just have to sacrifice all the time unwillingly, but it's because you have this revelation that, hey, I can help you first, or I can even help you with whatever, even though I don't have, I can give to you even if I don't give, because I know that God, our Father in heaven, has me taken care of, right? I know that he's got me. Relationship, job, career, you know, whether friends, all that. We know he's going to provide because he is good. So therefore, we can love our neighbor as ourselves. I'll share one more thing. And this also goes back to what Ricky shared, quality time. I actually had a revelation about quality time for loving our neighbor. You know, there's five languages: quality time, physical touch, words of affirmation, acts of service, And gifts, right. And if we apply those gifts in the Christian context, quality time would be spending quality time with God, you know, giving our devotion, sharing with each other. Words of affirmation, you could say, is offering our worship to God. Gifts would be offering. Acts of service would be serving. And physical touch, not so much. Maybe in a supernatural way, which I think we all desire as well, so we know that God is real, right? In the Christian context, we always stress the importance of quality time, right? Even the worship, right? It's more than words. It's more than just doing. It has to start with quality time. If we don't do quality time and we know we just serve without spending any time with God, or we sing worship and that's the only worship we ever sing on Sunday, then we know those expressions are empty, right? But that should also apply to our relationships here with each other, right? I believe that quality time has to be the number one, despite what your profile says. I know many of us have done the survey, but I think quality time, it needs to start with quality time, even with each other. As we have quality time with each other, then the words we speak with each other will have love and depth and meaning. Same with the gifts. Same with the way we serve each other, rather than just, I mean, even the little things are important, right? But when we can serve each other in a way that can meet a very specific need that is through, like, the quality time, then it will be so much more meaningful, right? So, yeah. It's all about just loving God. Let's do our quality time. I mean, that's what Ricky inspired us with as well on Sunday. But I challenge you guys to also do that with each other, right? And this is an overflow. It should happen. If you love God, you'll also love your neighbor as yourself. So let's just pray. And as Eunice leads us in worship, this is your opportunity right now just to, I mean, you guys all, giving up your morning, starting the day with God. And I know sometimes just being tired, hungry, can kind of affect just meeting with God. But I encourage you, just as this time, that we fully devote ourselves, right? That's why it's called oftentimes, our quality time is also called devotion time. We just fully devote ourselves to God. We offer our undivided presence to Him. No distractions. You know, our mind isn't on what we have to do later. Our mind isn't on who's WhatsApping or like what Facebook updates there are. But our complete and full attention and devotion is to God. So Father God, Lord, we just come before you here. We all come with a heart and also an intention, Lord, to draw near you. And it is all about your presence, God. More than the gifts you can give us, more than what you can do for us, God. Lord, we just want your presence, God. And this was the cry of Moses, where he demanded your presence, God. And I know it must have pleased you so much, God. You want us to be selfish for you, Lord God. So, Lord, we just want your presence, God, right now, Lord. And just do what you will, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Touch us. I just want to give everyone an opportunity. If you're just dealing with any forgiveness issues, or if there's just things in your life that are stressing you out, and you're just having trouble just letting go and just really living the life of peace that you should have upon you, I just want to give this opportunity to you just to offer it to God.
let's we'll just respond by just in worship. So we'll, maybe you can do another chorus verse for us. Pray for our brothers and sisters who are suffering under illness, cancer, chemo, radiation, surgery, recovery. Let's pray for just full restoration, not just physical, but also just whatever mental, and that God's presence, transcending peace, would come upon them, upon their family as well. Pray for our friends who are our friends' friends and who are ill as well as need the word of salvation for God to show up in their life. And let's pray that God would use this opportunity, whether it be as listed, the relationship to minister, but even just circumstances, whether it be, you know, other people or just through dreams or just directly, God, that God would really just use whatever to speak into people's lives. Pray for those with infirmities, that God would bring full restoration. Let's pray for those looking for jobs, for God's provision, and that they would continue to seek after God as their provider. Go to on to our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for our mission focus for China. SP Beijing, Hyunsu. We can pray for Pastor Hyunsu as he's actually going to be there for 2 weeks to cover, and he's going to be preaching, leading Bible studies. And let's just pray for both himself and Chloe that God would use them. And both of them are Mandarin speakers, so they really are equipped to really maximize this opportunity. Now let's also pray for missionaries Leanne, the Chong family, Nate's presence, Edie Clark, Chi Chi Har kids, and just the churches in China as a whole. If you guys could cover the staff, P. Sam, U, P. Huge, P. Nate, P. Carol, P. Hensu, P. Ricky, myself, Monica, Bonnie, Janella, and Yvaine, that we would just really work well together, have good team unity, have good quiet time, and especially pray for us as we transition and hand over things to a new staff and stuff. Pray for the worship, sound, and media team, that they'd first and foremost have the heart of worship in the way that they serve. You can also pray for the worship team. They're all in Cambodia. Oh no, they're back. So let's give thanks to God for the worship team of what they did in Cambodia. And especially as we're having new recruits, worship auditions, that more than just musical talent, that the new recruits would have the heart of worship and give the worship leaders just a sermon of what to do. Pray for Arts Anonymous, just as God is a creative God, that they would just reflect God through their creativity. And for SP or Spread, our SP newspaper, there's just so much work to be done, just for helpers to help, and just for just a united front in the way that they organize and work. Pray for SPLI, the only remaining, I guess, class is the Luke Acts one. So let's just pray that with the remaining classes they have, it'd be just really fruitful, that God would just use Pastor Sam and just anoint him with his words and teaching. Father God, you are with us. You've given us the Holy Spirit so that, God, your presence would go with us wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever circumstances we are faced with and experience. We are not doing it alone, God. So I just pray for everyone here today that you would just bless them, God, and that they would just sense you in everything that they did, God, and they would do everything, their work, just their life, as a reflection, as a worship unto you, Lord. Just bless them with opportunities as well, that today, that they can step into every blessing that you have in store with them, and I know you have so many blessings, God, and just give them the eyes and ears to hear and see what you're doing, God. We just thank you and we love you. And I just pray all this in Jesus' name.